Each time for the truth, will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 11. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. As always, it's an exciting study of God's Word that we may learn of Him and know more of Him. So please, look to your scripture, Exodus chapter 2, and we'll begin reading with verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me, as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered the flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, How is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, as he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked up on the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now we're going to end with the reading of that chapter, and let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. I ask that you will guide and lead us as we fellowship together over your word, that we may first of all know you as our Savior, as our personal Savior. Please, at that time, we know when we trusted in you, and we recall that time, and we recall the place, and we're excited about it because today we met you, Lord Jesus. Please, that it begins there, and then it sure doesn't end there. It just continues day after day as we know you in a greater way. We know your will, we know your way, because we're learning of you every day, and we'll do that till the day we die. Please never have me to stop learning of you. There is always a time for me to learn of you. Help me to do that today, please. Now, dear Father, I ask that you will guide and lead us through your word today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we started with the riverbank and with the killing of the children and the males, the men, and as the boys were put to death, why, we find that the one had hidden this child and had hidden as long as she possibly could. And then as soon as that time was up, why, she decided to make this ark, and she put pitch in and pitch out and put it into the water, and then it wasn't long that the Pharaoh's daughter, as it says in verse 7 here, spies the basket, brings it up out of the water, finds there's a child, a young child in it. That young child begins to cry, and she has compassion upon that child. Even though she knew it was a Hebrew child, she still desired to keep the child. And you would have thought that she would have had the heart of Pharaoh and would have, killed the child herself, but she didn't. She had God's mercy was there, and God's love was present. And as this daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, looked to this child and had compassion upon this child. And then it wasn't long that she gathered up by Moses's. His sister was close by, as told by their mother to follow the basket. And so the sister then gave direction of, and said, would you like, I shall go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child. Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, that would be fine. And so we find that has taken place. And then Moses here is drawn out of the water. That's the reason for his name. And he has been given now an opportunity to learn in the land of Egypt. But it wasn't long that it came to pass in verse 11, in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, as we just begin here, we need to kind of back up just a little bit and realize that Moses was taught. He is 40 years old when he flees Egypt. There's three lives that Moses lives, three different, totally different lives. One is in Egypt, and that's the first 40 years. Then we have 40 years in the desert, and then we have 40 years leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness. And so he is 120 years old when he dies, and so it's broken down into three divisions: the first 40 years in Egypt, the next 40 years in the desert, and the next 40 years leading the nation of Israel as God's spokesperson for them, and so and his chosen leader. So as we look at this division, we need to realize that Moses, being 40 years old, he was educated in the temple, and it's to believe that it's in the temple of the sun. They were big in astronomy. They had established already and taught that the earth was round, not flat. Their level of chemistry that they knew was unbelievable, and we know that by their ability to embalm. They have talents today of being able to preserve a body that we still can't do today. Many of those secrets have been hidden now in the with the Egyptians, and they were so educated. There was a great library that Moses, he had all this at his disposal, and he just continued to learn, and he was taught. He was a very, very wise man. He knew all the wisdom of the land. Acts chapter 7 gives us quite an explanation, the 20th through the 29th verse, of everything, how Moses was taught, how he was brought up, and everything. But he lacked something. He lacked the knowledge of the true God. He didn't know about the true God. The only thing he knew of the gods of Egypt that he was taught, and he was a very, very educated man. That was his and his position as a very wealthy man. He was a position of power. Moses literally had everything. He had what most people would desire to have out of this world. You would, if I had what Moses had, boy, I would be happy then. Well, God had other plans for Moses, and he has other plans for us. we shouldn't set our sights and our eyes upon the things of this land and this world and be pleased with it and satisfied with it, because it's only going to disappoint us. And so, please, let's look to the things of God, not to the things of this land and this world. Now, we find here Moses in his wisdom, in all his teaching, and yet he still has some compassion. And all of a sudden he saw, didn't know why, I don't know if he knew the reason why, that this Hebrew, this Israelite, this Hebrew was being beaten and killed. They killed him. And before that, that he was, and I say that, we're not sure that he was put to death. The Egyptian was the one that was put to death. The Israelite was being beaten, and Moses, he looked both ways to see that anybody was looking, and then he killed this Egyptian. And what would appear to be his brother, I mean, you would think that that would be that Moses, you know, they say it's a lot of it is your upbringing. Well, Moses was brought up as an Egyptian. You know, why did he see a problem with an Egyptian killing a Hebrew? They're just slaves. They're nothing. Well, Moses had something placed down in his heart that just didn't seem right. And so he lifted his hand against the Egyptian and killed the Egyptian. And so, again, he looked both ways, thought it was okay, buried the Egyptian. You know, nobody knows the difference. That's the size of it. You would think that with the position that Moses had, he wouldn't even the slightest bit concerned. But he was. And he had just killed a man. He was concerned about that. And we find now as we move on over into the 13th verse here, and when he went out the second day, the next day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? Why'd you kill him? And he went on to say, who made thee a prince or a man of and a judge over us? Who made us? Who made you that? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Well, Moses didn't realize anybody knew. But whether the man that he saved told, which is very possible, or somebody else was looking on, we find that they knew. And it wasn't long now when Pharaoh heard this thing. He sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, as we look at this situation here, we find that Moses desired to help this slave. Well, to Pharaoh, that slave was nothing more than a slave, something that was could be disposed of, could be thrown out. It wouldn't matter at all what would happen to this slave. There's livestock. They're not human. They're not man. We don't care what happens to them. There's so many of them. You know, if one doesn't do what he's supposed to do, then kill him, and we'll find somebody else to do that job. Well, now all of a sudden Moses found himself in a pretty difficult spot, because we find Pharaoh has set out to kill Moses, and I would imagine that anybody that Pharaoh sets his mind to kill, he kills. Well, Moses takes off and he heads for Midian, out to the old desert. And he sat down at this well, and now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, the 16th verse says, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them. Remember, Moses is physically as strong, mentally as strong. I mean, he's a powerful man, and these shepherds come in there, and they just kind of shoved priest of Midian's, Jethro's daughters, aside and says, you women, just get out of the road. We're going to water our flocks first. And Moses wouldn't stand for it. He stood up, protected these girls, these seven daughters, and he drove away the shepherds, and then he went ahead and drew the water for these girls and poured it into the trough so that the sheep can drink. Well, and then come the question when they went back home. And their father says, how come you have gotten here so soon? In other words, how did you water this flock so fast and you're back here? Well, he said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. An Egyptian. Now, remember, Moses was born and raised an Egyptian. I'm sorry, raised an Egyptian, born Hebrew. Raised an Egyptian. And now that he is raised an Egyptian, he speaks like an Egyptian. He acts like an Egyptian. He talks like an Egyptian. Every part of his life, he's an Egyptian. And when he come to their assistance here, they believed without question because he sounded like an Egyptian. He looked like an Egyptian. There wasn't anything about him that was otherwise. And that's what they saw, and they acknowledged that. Well, when they said what had happened, why then the father says, well, where is he? Why have you left that man that has helped you? Call him that he may come and eat bread with us, you know. Ask him for supper. You know, he's helped you. What have you done? And so Moses was content to dwell with the man. So not only did he stay for supper, but he stayed for 40 years. And so in this time, why Moses, Jethro, had... seven daughters, and he has given Moses one of these daughters. And Zipporah, his daughter, is who that Moses received. And she bare him a son and called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Now, just quickly, I want to show you before we move on from this point that we have many pictures, and I've shared with you many of them through the book of Genesis, and now we're into the book of Exodus, and we talked about the ark and the ark in of the covenant that we find in the tabernacle to be in the future here. We've had the ark that Noah had built, and then we had the ark here that Moses was in, and so we talked about that and the pictures that it has concerning the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and everything. Well, here we have another picture. We have Moses. He has been rejected by his own. Remember, are you going to kill us too? Well, they didn't realize or recognize that he was an Israelite as they are. They saw him as an Egyptian. They didn't recognize him for who he was. Well, remember what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? They did not recognize him as for who he was. They didn't recognize him to be the Son of God. They rejected him. Well, so did these folks. They rejected Moses for what he had done. And so what happened when when his own rejected him, then is when the Lord Jesus has set aside the nation of Israel because they rejected him, set him aside, and he has taken for himself a Gentile bride, and that's us. That's the church. Well, look what happens here. He goes to Midian, and he takes upon him a Gentile bride. What a beautiful picture we have, again, of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. The setting aside of Israel because they rejected, and the bringing in and accepting a bride of the Gentiles. And that's what we have here in these last few verses that we have just read in verses 20, 21, and 22 of the second chapter. Well, the story continues, and it came to pass in the process of time. And I said already that he was in Egypt for 40 years. He was in Midian for 40 years. And so in this process of time, that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, again, we'll back up here and take a look at these verses of Scripture. We have moved Moses from place of the ark that he was placed in. He has been put into a home. He has been educated according to the world, not educated according to God. And so we find now that as we come through those first 40 years, God takes him out of that, and for 40 years he puts him in the wilderness. Not much is said about it, other than he had to deprogram Moses. Everything that Egypt, the world, taught him had to come out. And so now he has been, all that in that 40 years, God has taken the world out of him. And we're beginning to see here in the beginning of the chapter 3 that God is about to do something with this man, something very important. But he had to take the pride and the arrogance and the world out of him. And it sure did that, being a shepherd to this Gentile prince. He was a person of position, a person of power in the land of Midian. And Moses found his daughters. They were drawing the water. He helped them. It turned out he ended up living his life and with them for another 40 years. But during that time, God took him from pride and put him into a humble setting. And for 40 years, he was a servant to the priest of Midian. And so he's taken his Gentile bride now. We have heard that the king of Egypt has died. Now, this very king that was at the king that said, I will kill you, that set out to kill Moses. So that time is past. It's just stated there. We find that the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. They cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of bondage. Now, I want you to see, as we find that Moses is set aside here, and he's being the things of the world are being taken from him, and he is given nothing. He has went from the second command to nothing, and he's just a shepherd and just caring for the sheep. And so, as we looked at that beautiful picture of him as with his Gentile bride, we find the nation of Israel is groaning. Now, does it say that they called upon God to deliver them here? Did it say that they were faithful to the true God even through all this time of bondage? Did it say that they had turned and repented from the sins that they had committed? No, they served idols in Egypt. They were wicked in Egypt. They were not faithful to God whatsoever in Egypt. But the Scripture tells us that God heard their cry, their helpless, worthless condition. God heard them. And God not only heard their groanings, but he also remembered his promise, a promise that he had made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. He remembered the promise. He heard their groaning and remembered the promise. Now, with us, we need to understand that we are hopeless. We are helpless. There, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot do one good act. Everything that we do is as filthy rags, as Scripture tells us. And if you believe the Word of God, there's no good act in us. If it had not been for God in His love, sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down here upon this earth to save us, and then giving us this opportunity to come to Him. And we don't even have the strength to come to Him. He draws us. He brings us to Him. He drags us to Him. And we have a choice of accepting or rejecting Him. But as we come to Him by His calling, He saves us. He rescues us. He takes us out of bondage. What another beautiful picture. because we see that here these people are calling. They are groaning the bondage, and they are in the process of they are doing the hard labor. They're making the bricks, and it's very difficult labor. And many of the Israelites died over the labor that they had to put out to produce the work, and they just kept working them harder and harder and harder. And this burden, this bondage that they were in, was just so strong and so great that they didn't know what to do. God heard their groaning. We're the same way. This old bondage of sin is so great, and God heard us, and He sent His Son to die for us. Now, isn't that a wonderful picture? Because, you see, we can be saved, just like the nation of Israel is going to be delivered out of Egypt, not because of a value that we have. We're going to be delivered. We are delivered if you've come by faith to Jesus Christ. Please, you must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. You must know Him as your Savior. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. He knew them. He was going to rescue them. He was going to deliver them out of bondage. And that's exactly what He does for you and me. He delivers us out of bondage. It's His delivering power. It's His deliverance, not something we can do or say. It's not some great deed that we can do. It's not that we say the right words. It's that we recognize that we are in bondage, and we're dying, and we're going to die in bondage as a slave to bondage. And that's exactly what the nation of Israel, they were dying. They were dying there every day. And the call went out to please save us, rescue us, please. And as they did that, as they did this groaning, God heard them. And if you would call upon God the same way, not by some power or some strength that you have, just that you have nothing to offer God. So please just turn to Him and plead with Him that He would save you and take this load of sin away, this bondage, please, that it be lifted from you. And then you'll have the freedom and the joy and the strength to serve Him and to walk after Him and to praise His name. Please that you do that today. I just ask that you will call upon Him today. We find in the chapter 3, and just as we're coming down to the last couple of minutes here, Moses kept the flock of Jethro. Jethro and the other name was the same. It's the same man, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back side of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now look what happened there. We're going to probably begin with the first verse again next time we're together, but I want you to see what has taken place. God called him. Moses didn't say the nation of Israel, they need a Savior. They need to be delivered from their bondage. I will go forth and do that. It wasn't that at all. And we find that there was nothing in Moses' thought that was of God until God called. God called him to the burning bush. He drew him. He is drawing us. He is drawing you right now if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So please, that you will look to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will trust Him today, that you will call upon Him today and have this personal relationship. You will know the day that you come to Jesus Christ. You will know that time. Maybe not the exact date of being January 29th, you may not know exactly what day it is, but you will know, you will remember that time and that place. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?